For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:5. And now the message from the pulpit of Wealthy Park Baptist Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Genesis chapter 1, we're going to look today at "It was so because God said so." And my original plan was to get through all 6 days of creation today, but we'll get through 5 of them, just because as I was studying through this and preparing for this, I realized that if we did all 6 days, we'd skip Sunday school. So, but we'll just try to get through all 5 of them today. And you know, it's kind of amazing as we look at the creation account given to us in Genesis. You know, we see the first thing we'll see today is we'll see the glory of creation. We'll go step by step through day 5 and just see how glorious, how incredible it is that God created everything He did in 6 24-hour days. And then we'll look at the majesty of the Creator and what creation tells us about the God that we serve. Okay, it's increasingly difficult for me as I go verse by verse through this stuff. Is when I get done studying it all out and I've got it all organized for you, I go, so what? You know, we can spend all morning talking about how the world was created and we believe all that, but if we don't apply it, then so what? So we're going to look at the glory of creation and then the majesty of the Creator. But before we do any of that, let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the fact that you not only created everything, but you take time for us and you care for us. We pray as we approach this passage of Scripture this morning that you would quiet our hearts and our minds and help us to focus on you, to learn more about you, and help it to change us and to make us more like your Son. We love you, Lord, and pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, look with me in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, with which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Well, in the beginning, as we talked about, in the beginning there was one single existence that was God. Before everything ever began, before these 6 days took place, there was God. It was in the beginning, God. That's all there was. There was no space, there was no time, there was no universe, there was no matter. It was just God. It says for us in verse 1, in the beginning, God. See, God had no beginning and no end. So he was there. And when he decided he was going to create everything that we see, the entire universe, he did so in 6 24-hour days. Everything began with day 1. There was no partial creation waiting to be finished. There was no planet Earth hanging out waiting to be done. There wasn't some unfinished project that God had been working on. There was no creation before God started his work on day 1. And so let's look at day 1 together. It says in verses 1 through 5, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So what did God do in those first 24 hours? One day, he created space. He created space. There was nothing but God before this time. He created space. Our universe, and science will tell you this, had a beginning. And they try to explain this all the time because the universe is always expanding. It's moving outward all the time. And so they say it had to have started somewhere. And it started here. It started with God. He created the universe. He created space. He created matter. The Bible calls it earth. Here we have the earth, he makes it for us, and we don't know quite what it was at this point. We know there was water, we know that it was there, but we don't know whether or not it was what we know as earth today. The Bible says he made heaven, and he made earth, space, and matter on day one. And then he spoke and said, Let there be light. Up until this point, there was absolutely no energy in the universe, just God. And God spoke, and light was created. Some believe that this may have been the light of God's glory. We know it wasn't the light of the sun because he hadn't made the sun yet. He does that on day 4. But some believe that this was the light of God's glory. In the new heaven and the new earth, the Bible tells us that there won't be a sun anymore, because the glory of God will light all creation. And so some believe that this was the light of God's glory. But energy began here on that day. He separated night from day. He separated light from darkness. We know that darkness, you know, it's simply the absence of light. If you climb into a deep, dark cave, go deeper and deeper and deeper in the cave, no matter how long you sit there with your eyes open, you won't see anything because there's no light. Darkness is the absence of light. And God separated light and darkness on that day. He separated them. He put boundaries on them. He defined one day as evening and morning. So we have day, the light. We have night, the darkness. And God defined the day, it says, the evening and the morning were the first day. This is why the Hebrew calendar goes from sunset to sunset. They don't start their days at midnight, okay? They start their days at sundown, and they go all the way to the next sundown. So the Sabbath starts the night before for us. Sabbath starts in the night, and it goes all the way to the next evening. The Jews got their night and day pattern from this first day here. But God made it very specific in the Bible that he said the evening and the morning were the first day. He did that so that we would know that the days here in Genesis chapter 1 are 24-hour days. Okay? 24-hour days. All throughout Genesis chapter 1, as they debate all the different things here, the common thing for scholars and people to do is to take a word and say, well, that word can mean something else. Okay, well, maybe it can, but it doesn't here. They take, if we were to say, you know, we have an English word that it means something else, some other place, but in context here, we know exactly what it means. The Bible tells us in day one, it was morning and evening. That was day one. It's not thousands, if not millions, if not billions of years. It's not an age. It's a day. All right? And everywhere in Scripture, everywhere that the word day is used with morning and evening, it's 24 hours a day. This is one 24-hour day. See, there wasn't some big bang that started the light, and God kind of waited around for a while. You know, maybe 100 million years till the universe expanded far enough. But Christians and scholars try to do that. They try to do that. But here we know from what the Bible says, if we just take it for what it says, a day is 24 hours, evening and night. Everything began on day one. The universe, time, space, matter, everything happened in these 24 hours this first day. There's some that try to say that between verse 1 and verse 2, we don't know how much time passed between those two verses. And I want to preface all my comments on this with one fact that I know for sure. I wasn't there, okay? Nobody was. But as I read through Scripture, and as I read through this passage, I don't see a gap. Some believe that there was an uncertain amount of time there, but the Bible tells us in Exodus 20, turn to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 11. Give you time to turn there. The Bible tells us that God created everything in just 6 days. Everything in just 6 days. It says in verse 11 of Exodus chapter 20, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." God is giving the children of Israel, he's given them the law. He's telling them about the seventh day. And he said, "I set up a pattern for you when I created everything. I did my work in 6 days, and I was done with my work on the seventh day. I didn't do any work in that day." So for us to say, all right, for us to say that between verse 1 and verse 2, there's a big gap, that the earth was around but not finished yet, how in the world did God create everything in 6 days, if that's the case? That's my question for you. That's my provoking thought, is if God says, "I created everything in 6 days," that means from verse 1 all the way to verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1 only took 6 24-hour days. He did everything in those 6 days. We live on a young earth. We live on a young earth created in just one day. We live on a young earth. And there's people that try to tell you, well, the earth is hundreds of millions and billions of years old. Just look at all the rock layers and look at all the fossils and look at... Listen, God created a young earth. He created rock layers. All right? He put it together the way he did. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we get down to day two. But God created the earth on day one. And it's been around ever since that day. So that's day one, and we'll move along here. So we have the earth now. It's there. It's turning. There's light. So we have days and nights now. On day two, it says in verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day." So what did God do here on this first day, or second day, excuse me? He created the firmament. Now, that's gone now. We don't know exactly what that was like. But what it says is that he separated the waters from the waters. There's several theories as to what this is, okay? The Hebrew word firmament means an expanse. So whatever it was, it surrounded the whole earth as kind of a shell, kind of like our atmosphere, but different, all right? It separated two bodies of water. It separated the water that was above the surface of the earth from the water that was on the surface of the earth. Okay? So here for you, I've tried to illustrate it. You see a big circle around the earth and a space in between. Many believe that this was a blanket of water vapor. Now, this room is full of water vapor. We call it humidity. And you can't see it. It's clear. It's transparent. But it's full of water. If we were to put a dehumidifier in this room and turn it on, we could come back in a day or two and get a full tank of water. Where'd it come from? It's in the room right now. It's clear. It's transparent. The stars and the sun could still have shone through this later layer of water vapor that God put up. They could still see the stars and the sun. It's not a big layer of clouds, because if that were the case, it'd be shaded on the earth all the time and nothing would grow. But it's this blanket of water vapor here that God separated. And now what did this thing do? The results of the firmament. The first thing it did is it created uniform temperatures all around the world. It was a worldwide greenhouse effect. Now, I could go for this, because no matter where you are, if it's in the UP of Michigan or in the Keys of Florida, it'd be the same temperature. Man, I could go for that. But everywhere around the world, because this water vapor held in the heat from the sun like a greenhouse, everywhere around the world was a uniform temperature. There would have been no wind and no jet stream or any kind of weather currents, wind currents, because it was a uniform atmosphere environment around the entire world. Wind comes from one air moving to a lower pressure air somewhere else. That wouldn't have been the case under the firmament, because the atmosphere, the environment would have been the same all around the world. There wouldn't have been any rain showers or storms. And we learn about that a little bit in chapter 2, and we learn about that with the story of Noah. They hadn't seen rain yet. They didn't know what it was. And the vapor and the mist of the ground would water everything. There was no rain and no storms. There was no body of water over the earth there. It was just one big hunk of land. There was no body of water that would keep evaporating and raining back down again. It would have had no turbulence. You could have flown and never encountered turbulence, because there would be no moving air currents or heat. Everything would be uniform and the same. There would be uniform humidity and moisture over the entire earth. You know, it depends on kind of where you are now. You can go to the rainforest and that's humid. You can go to the desert and that's dry. But with this water vapor shell around the entire earth, it would hold all that together the same. There'd be uniform humidity all over the earth. You wouldn't have to have snowbirds. Everybody could stay in the same place for church all year round. All right? There would have been lush vegetation all over the earth. No deserts, no ice caps. Completely different planet from what we know today. You could go to the North Pole and it'd be 80 degrees and humid. You go to the South Pole, 80 degrees and humid. All right? No ice caps, no deserts, lush, green vegetation over the entire earth, because like I said, this was like a greenhouse. There have been no ultraviolet rays or harmful space energy. You could go out in the sun and you wouldn't burn. Well, there was no sun yet, Charlie, but when the sun was created, this layer would filter out ultraviolet rays. It would filter out all that harmful energy, x-rays and radiation and all that that we encounter now. It's like a super ozone layer, all right? So there wouldn't have had to worry about suntan lotion or anything like that. There would have been a higher atmospheric pressure. There was more in the atmosphere. There'd been a higher atmospheric pressure. You say, well, what would that have been like? They've done experiments where they've slowly increased the pressure, atmospheric pressure on plants and animals over time, and they've found that they grow better, that they're stronger, that they're healthier. It's a better environment for them. And this was a reservoir for the flood. The reason it's not around anymore is because when the flood came, God says that the firmament poured down on the earth and the fountains of the deep broke up. And we'll talk about those fountains of the deep soon. If all the atmosphere, were to empty itself of all the water today, we'd get about 1 inch of rain. That's it. But because this water vapor surrounded the entire earth, when that dumped on the earth, it covered the highest mountain. There was that much water surrounding the earth, and it was all destroyed as a result of the flood. So that was the firmament. He separated the waters on the earth from the waters over the earth. And some believe that we might see this firmament again. Psalm 148. Verses 4 through 6 says, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever." There's some scholars that say, according to that psalm right there, when we have the new heaven and the new earth, God's going to put the firmament back. I don't know. We'll see. That was day two. He separated the waters which were on the earth from the waters which were over the earth. He created the firmament, which made a worldwide environment. So how about day three? Look at verse 9 now. It says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good." So the first thing that God did is he separated the waters from the minerals, and dry land started to appear all over the earth. Now this was land that was separated completely from water. So there was no lakes. There was no rivers. It was one large body of land. All right. So he separated mineral from water there. He gathered the elements together and congregated all the minerals into one place. And he says that he stored up that water into one place. If you read about the flood, the Bible says that the fountains of the deep were broken up. So God, when he separated the land from the waters, he created also a vast underground system of rivers and lakes, and I don't know exactly what it was like, but the Bible tells us that when God caused a flood, the fountains of the deep broke up and that water came gushing forth. Now, I get reminded of this when I drive through on my way to the southern states, and I drive through the mountains where they've cut the road out of the mountains, and you look at the rock layers and they're standing up on end, and you think, how in the world are those rock layers, how do they end up standing up on end? When the flood happened, the entire surface of the earth broke up, heaved to and fro, and water came gushing around. We get our mountains, we get our valleys, we get everything from a result of the flood. Grand Canyon wasn't created by a little stream over millions and millions of years. It was created in 40 days and 40 nights. All right? That's where all that came from. So this earth that God created would have been a lot different than our earth is today. There wouldn't have been near as many mountains and valleys and all of that. It would have been almost even all across the earth. And that's speculation, of course. It doesn't say that for us, but none of that happened until the earth broke up in the flood. So God created an ancient water table, if you will, to store all this water for future. The dry land appeared. And then the Bible tells us that plants sprouted forth. All of a sudden, all that green growth happened everywhere. Trees sprang up. Grass sprang up. Fruit sprang up on the trees. This earth was finally ready to support life. The food was finally there. There was trees, there was grass, and other types of vegetation. This was the entire planet's food source. If we read about the animals and man, God says that He's given them the green of the earth, the fruit and the vegetables for food. Everything was a vegetarian. Everything was an herbivore in the original creation. Everything was. This was the planet's food source. That was day three. Created land and vegetation on day three. So what about then day four? I love this day. It's one of my favorite days. Day four, look at verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So, day four, we're going to zoom out a little bit, get rid of my illustration of the firmament because, like I said, that was clear. You would have been able to see right through it. Day four, God made the sun on day four. So now the light that shines on earth is the light from the sun. He created the moon. And the Bible says, oh yeah, He made the stars too. I just love it. He made the stars also. It's amazing to me that the magnificence of the galaxy and the universe is like an afterthought in Scripture. You know, we get all excited when we start studying out astronomy and seeing how big all this stuff is and how magnificent it all is. And the Bible says, yeah, He made the stars too. And He did that all on day four. Finally, this universe up until this point, it didn't have anything in it but the earth. And now it's full of light and full of the majesty, the glory of God. He also determined that time would be measured by the celestial bodies. Think about how we measure time. A day is how long it takes the earth to rotate. A month is how long it takes the moon to rotate around the earth. A year is the time it takes for us to rotate around the sun. And God said right here in Genesis that they would be for signs and for seasons. He set those celestial bodies in place knowing that we would use them to measure time. And He ordained all of that for us. That was day four. And then day five, it says in verse 20, God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." So God spoke, and the empty oceans became full of life. Okay, it wasn't some sort of protein in a cesspool somewhere that all of a sudden sprouted fins. God spoke, and instantly the sea was full of life. God spoke, and the sky was full of birds. So if anybody asks you what came first, the chicken or the egg, the chicken did. Okay, and I don't know if back then chickens could fly or not. But God spoke, and the birds filled the skies. And it wasn't evolution. God didn't say, all right, let there be life. And millions of years later, a frog crawled out of the ocean and walked on land. That's not the way it worked. He spoke, and the earth was full of life. Day five. So that's the glorious creation that God's given for us. You know, I wanted to do animals and man on a separate day so we'd have more time to talk about that. But he created all of these things, and so far, 5 days. 5 days. It only took one day for him to turn all the lights on. It only took one day for him to use stars and galaxies and all manner of beautiful things to keep that light shining for us. It only took one day to fill the oceans and the skies with animals and birds, fish and birds. It only took one day for him to set up the land and the grass and the growth and everything for us. It shows us the majesty of our Creator. You know, think about that. And like I said before, we get excited over astronomy, and we get, think, you know, God created all that, but he created all that with a word. He spoke, and it appeared. He didn't say, all right, here's the blueprint. It's going to take 20 billion years. We'll do it one step at a time. One star at a time, 20 billion years later. No, he spoke, and it was all there. He spoke, and it was there. This tells us he's limitless. He has limitless power. He created time. He created space. He created energy. He created the entire universe with the word of his mouth in just 6 days. Just 6 days. He didn't even break a sweat. He didn't even have to, you know, come up with a plan or get the right tools. He just spoke and it was here in 6 days. It tells us he's limitless. He has limitless power. It tells us he has limitless imagination. Everything that was created came from the mind of God. Everything came from the mind of God. He had no blueprints or plans. There was no Pinterest, okay? When we create crafts and things, we go online and we gather ideas. But when God created the universe, he created it all from his own imagination. Nobody had to give him an idea of how to do it. He has limitless imagination. The intricacies of the universe were created by him. He's the master architect, the master designer. He put everything together so it would all work in perfect harmony. He has limitless imagination. Not only is he limitless, he's perfect. In this portion of Scripture here, before the world was affected by sin, he created a universe full of perfect things. There was a perfect planet. Man, what would have been like to live on that planet, and no matter where you went, no matter where you went, it was the same temperature, the same environment. You didn't have to worry about getting burned from the sun. They could enjoy lush vegetation all over the world. There wasn't one area of the world on a water ration and the other area of the world using it like crazy. They had everything they need everywhere all across the globe. A perfect planet. A perfect environment. We had a perfect solar system. We had a perfect food source. He created enough vegetation to feed all the animals, the fish, the animals, mankind. He created it all. He created perfect systems. Think about the fact that because God created the universe the way he did, we can shoot off a rocket, do the calculations, and land on a comet. That's pretty cool. But the only reason we can do it is because God created perfect systems. He made everything have laws. He made everything have gravity and all those things that we take for granted. God set that all in motion so that we, in our limited frame of mind, could figure it out enough to predict how it's all going to work. He created perfect calendars for us. Created for us the day and the month and the week and the year. He created all of that for us. He created perfect laws that govern everything. We know that if you drop something, it's going to only travel so fast. We know that if we run so fast over a given period of time, we're going to get to a place in such a place, you know, such a time. Everything. He created all the laws, everything that governs. Think about the fact that if this planet were any farther away from the sun or any closer to the sun, we wouldn't be able to live. And he created a planet that turns perfectly on its axis at just the right angle so that we could enjoy a habitable planet. And he put the sun, made it just the right kind of star and made it just bright enough and so that we wouldn't fry. He made everything perfect for us. But the best thing about God isn't that he's limitless or that he's perfect. The best thing about him is that he is yours if you'll take him. The best thing about him is that he wants a relationship with you and I. The God that spoke and everything started wants a relationship with you and I. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. As we meet the creator of all the universe, there's a great passage about him in Isaiah chapter 40. My life verse happens to be in this passage. Look at verse 25 of Isaiah chapter 40. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest over Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We learn in this passage in Isaiah that our God, see if I can find it here. Who is like our God? It's a rhetorical question. No one is like our God. He says, who shall you liken me? He's unlike anyone or anything. There's no comparison. When we sit down and try to figure God out, we realize we just can't do it. There's no one like him. He is the source of everything and the sustainer of everything. In verse 26, it says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, he is the source of everything and the sustainer of everything. Think about the fact that every day we're discovering something new out there. We point a telescope somewhere and we find it, and we give it a name and a number and a classification, and we say, we discovered something. God says, I know all those things by name. I see them all. I created them all. Not only that, it says that he sustains them all. He upholds it all by the power of his might. He's the source of everything. He's the sustainer of everything. He sees everything and knows everything. Verse 27, he says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. He sees it all. He knows it all. He knows what we had for breakfast this morning. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows the day that we're going to die. He knows everything about us. There is nothing that we can do that's outside of his sight. He sees it all. He knows it all. He never tires. He never requires sleep or rest. Man, he spoke and created everything and didn't break a sweat. There was no effort on God's part. All he had to do was speak the words, and everything existed. Verse 29, it says, he giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. He can give us power because he's never lacking in power. says he fainteth not. He's not weary. He never sleeps. He never tires. He's always watching out for us. You know, we can pray any time of the day. We don't have to fit into God's schedule. He's always there, ready and willing to hear us. He never tires. He never requires sleep or rest. And he strengthens the weak and the tired. You know, we get tired. We need rest. We know it now more than ever today. Man, I hate this time. God, for the record, God did not create daylight savings time. We need rest. We get tired. But God, the God who has limitless power, promises to strengthen us. He's a refuge and a strength to all who will put their hope and trust in him. It says in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait, they that hope, they that trust on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I think the most incredible thing about the God of all the universe is that he is not an impersonal God. He didn't create everything and just say, you're on your own. He didn't do it that way. He created everything. He created man. And the first thing he did with man was he walked with them in the garden. He spent time with them. He fellowshiped with them. He created the universe, and he wants to have a relationship with us. He created the world, and he loved it too. That's why it says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, he's a God that spoke, and everything came into existence in less than a week's time. And yet he loves each and every one of us enough that he is ready and willing to be the source of your strength. He is ready and willing to be your refuge and fortress. He is ready and willing to be your best friend. Question is, do you know him today? Do you trust in him today? Christians, do you rest in him today? You know, we get tired, we get weary, we get discouraged, but we need to remember that we serve a God that spoke and everything was created. Didn't cause him any stress. It didn't take him any time. It didn't wear him out. He spoke and everything was created. Everything but one. There was one thing he didn't just speak about, and we'll learn about that next week. But everything he created with the word of his mouth. Do you trust in that God? Do you rest in that God? Do you pray to that God? Do you have a relationship with that God? Because we have the opportunity, anytime we want to, if we know Jesus Christ, to approach the creator and sustainer of the entire universe and tell him our cares. You'd think he wouldn't have time for that. You'd think that the God who's in charge of keeping the entire universe in check wouldn't have time for our little issues. But he does. And he wants a relationship with each and every one of us. And he's ready and willing to give us strength when we run out, to give us hope when we don't have any. That's the God that created everything.
We trust your heart has been blessed with this message from God's Word. We invite you to visit our services if you're in the area, or visit us again at our website, www.wealthypark.org. Join us again next week for another sermon. Wealthy Park Baptist Church, where our goal is to know Christ and to make Him known.